Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl, when
I didn't know what I was
going to do,
tune in to Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come back across these skyways and airwaves, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that all is well in your family circle. I hope and I pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. Hallelujah. I just thank those of you that just continually to make the Old Ship of Zion a part of your listening program. And may God richly bless you, you, and you. Hallelujah. Hope and pray that you had a beautiful service at various churches that you attend on today in masses. And I know that God met you there. Hallelujah. And those of you that were not able to go outside of your boundaries to attend church, well, we have church right here waiting on you this afternoon. And we know that God is yet faithful. We just thank God for all the beautiful things that he is doing for his children. We just thank God and give his name glory. Hallelujah. Because he's worthy of our praise. We can never praise God enough. Hallelujah. And I just thank God for allowing me this opportunity. Hallelujah. Come before you, hallelujah, and to bring unto you a rhema word from the Lord, hallelujah, because we know that we have to have the word of God preached to us, you know, in this life. We have to have that because that is the bread in which we can be refined, be renewed, you know, in our spiritual realm, hallelujah. That spiritual man has to be fed the word of God on a day-to-day basis. Hallelujah. So we just thank God for just allowing us this opportunity and this podium, this stage, you know, to bring across his word, because that's the only reason that Overseer Ward is here. I am here because God has gave me an itinerary. He's given me a commission. And I am intending to carry it out to the best of my ability that God has given unto me. And so that's the reason that I'm here. Second reason I'm here is because of you. For without you, it wouldn't be any reason for me to be here. But because God has worshipers that love God, love the word of God, the divine word of God, that is, because we know that there's a whole lot of people that's preaching and teaching, but they're not preaching and teaching the true vine, the true word of God. But here, you're going to be preached the divine word of God, as God has laid it out in his 66 books. It is the same way it will be implemented unto you, you and you. Hallelujah. And so, like I said, I just thank those of you that just continually to listen in, hallelujah, and make the Old Ship of Zion a part of your listening program. And for doing so, God has a blessing engraved with your name on it. I don't want you to think that God has overlooked you, because he has not. God sees all, and he knows all. And God knows those that are listening and being a blessing. You know, you might say, well, Overseer Ward, I haven't, you know, given you anything, you know, monetarily, but it don't have to be monetarily all the time, you know. It can be just your talent and your time. sometimes is all that is needed. And at this time, that is all that I am requiring, is your listening ear. Hallelujah. So I just want you to get your good seat, bring all your digital devices. I call them our toys. So bring all your toys. Hallelujah. Bring them aboard because we are in need of them. So you bring them on aboard, and we're going to go right now quickly into our opening prayer. So I'm asking those of you that will to bow your heads as we go down in our opening prayer. Okay, Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured, God. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for enabling us, God, to be able to unite and gather, God, together around the spectrum, God. We know that this earthly soil that we're treading on, God, is not our eternal home. But we know that you have a mansion that's lying in waiting, God. One of these old historical days, God, you will come back and rapture us away. But until that historical day is upon us, we will continue to work while it's day. We will continue in your will and in your way, moving on and upward, God. And we are asking you, God, to just bless us. We'll be mounting up from the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims traveling through this barren land, God. I'm asking you on this evening, God, to anoint these lips of clay, God. Able me to bring a real word, God, to those that may then again may not know of you and the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, God, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their very heart and soul. Father God, we'll be so mindful, so gracious, to give your name all the glory, honor, and due unto thee. These and other blessings we asked in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. And we allow the church to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. And I will be with you, hallelujah, 1 hour on today. So I'm just asking you to come aboard, get your good seat. I have the chat room available for your sitting and listening pleasure on this evening. And so without any further ado, we're going to dig on into the Word of God right at this time. So our sermon on today entitled, No Choice But to Make Choices. I want to say that one more time. No choice but to make choices. And we'll read our first key scripture, and it reads like this. And the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Ephesians 6 and 17. And for those of you that has a prayer petition on your heart at the conclusion of this program, you are urged to call in with your prayer request. The request line will be open. At the conclusion of this program, and the number in which to dial in and talk live with yours truly is 646-230-74. Those numbers again are 646-230-74. And you can call in at the conclusion of this program. All right. So we know that in this life that you and I are living in right now, in it, this existence on planet Earth. Hallelujah. We know that from day to day, we have to make wise, selective choices that have a bearing on our lives, maybe our family lives, our marriage, our children, our hospital, diagnosis, insurance purposes, portfolios, and car insurance, and to purchase a car, to purchase a house. We know that they are choices that we have to make, and we have to make the wisest choices. So we know that you and I, we're forever standing at a crossroad of decisions. And decision making, every new day presents us, you and I and us, with the solemn responsibilities of making choices. Hallelujah. We know that the success or failures of our lives is determined by the degree of wisdom you and I and us we employ in our choice making. We find out that true success in life means glorifying God and serving mankind. So if our choices, hallelujah, are within the will of God, then we succeed. Of his will, then you and I and us, we fail. Jesus was hungry and he was thirsty and also weak. After his retreat in the desert, chose to respond to the temptation of the devil with decisive retorts. From the ultimate weapon, the word of God. The Old Testament tells you and I how Daniel, with unflinching faith, resisted several temptations to bow down to the false gods, even though his life was on the line. He chose instead to serve the living God. And you and I and us must choose which way we want to go. We want to choose if we want our life of Christ, then live eternally with God, or do we want to live it up in the world and have an everlasting separation from God and eternal death, hell, and damnation? We know that he chose instead to serve the living God. We're told that the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and the Abednego refused to obey King Nebuchadnezzar's command that they would worship a golden image, and they chose to remain loyal to God. And that's what you and I are to do in this life, on this journey, this Christian journey that you and I are on, is don't let a devil in hell, a devil outside around hell, deter your mindset of where you are trying to go. You know that Jesus is your choice, and you're living every day to please God. Then you know that choice is to serve God wholeheartedly with your heart and soul. God said that those that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we know that the very nature of the devil's temptation is to bring you and I and us to the fork in the road, to leave you and I and us there, to either rise by making the right choice or to fail by making the wrong one. We know that the antidote to temptation is having the courage and the fortitude to say no and to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That scripture reading once again, and that was our key scripture, was Ephesians 6 and 17. And when the battle is won, God is glorified. So when you and I and us are sold out, soldiers, sold out pilgrims, sold out disciples, sold out warriors, sold out missionaries, sold out ministers, sold out deacons, sold out deaconettes, sold out apostles, sold out singers, sold out choir directors, sold out pew members, sold out prayer warriors, then we have made the choice to serve God wholeheartedly. We must also be ready and willing to dare to challenge logistics, tradition, to break ungodly customs. Excuse me. Ungodly customs. Hallelujah. And to disobey unjust laws. We know that in the final analysis, there are but two choices, God's way or the devil's way, the saved way or the lost way, the creative way or the destructive way, the brotherhood way or the enemy way, the life way or the death way? Which will you choose? We're talking about no choice but to make choices. And we know that we're in a run for president. We have two candidates that are running, one a Republic, one a Democrat. And we must make the wise choice in our choosing. No one can tell us which way to vote, but we find out there's a lot of people that's trying desperately to, you know, to lure you in to vote this way or vote that way. But you have to let God lead you. And we know that when God leads you and I and us, it will be the right way. Because one thing about it, if you know that you are on a month-to-month salary, you know that you are not one of the wealthy ones. You are not one of the elite. You don't have a pocket full of gold. You don't have the 401k, and you don't have gold and stock bonds. You don't have gold bars. You're just living from day to day, maybe paycheck to paycheck. You're not of the elite, like I said, in the elite class of being rich and famous, then you know these two candidates, you must think thoroughly your choice because they have their lives already made, but you don't have your life made because you cannot just go and sit down and have people coming at your every bell and whistle. You have to get out and go and provide for your family, for your children, for those that's near and close and dear unto your heart and to your soul. So you have to make a wise choice on your candidate. And so we have to consult God, because God tell you and I and us, in all that you and I to ever do, to consult who? God. Consult Jesus Christ in every single iota of our lives. We don't ever want to leave God out of anything. Absolutely, positively, anything that concerns you and I and us. Hallelujah. And so we're told that the president of a Dallas seminary, he gave a very brief banquet speech. Introduced after a long program, he announced his subject: the reasonableness of fully surrendering our lives to God. Then, because of the lateness of the hour, he gave only the 3 points of his message. Reason one was, God is all wise, and he knows better than anyone else what is best for my life. Reason two, he is almighty and has the power to accomplish what is best for me. Reason three, he stated, God loves me more than anyone else does. Therefore, the most logical thing I can do is surrender my life to God. What more can I say? What more need I say? We know that the Apostle Paul had the same conviction. He knew that prison and hardship awaited him in Jerusalem, but he also knew that God wanted him to go. In the law of Acts 20 and 22 through 23, even his siren friend wisely concluded, "The will of the Lord be done." They knew that Paul was right. No matter what happened, when you and I and us, when we do God's will, we're in the safest place in all the world. Hallelujah. We know that the Lord is all wise, he's almighty, and he's all loving. Hallelujah. Doesn't it make sense to surrender yours and mine and our life to him? You know, that old song says, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his present daily live." Surrender means victory. When we surrender to God, we know that every day we will make choices. No choice but to make choices. That is our everyday itinerary, to do the right thing. To do the right thing, you know. And when we consult God, you know, Sometimes we might have our babies in the back seat in their car seat, and they're strapped in, and you know, the wife is going on her way to work, and she leaves the baby in the husband's, you know, in his hands and say, hey, you know, I want you to drop the baby off at the daycare. You know, I'm already running late for work, so I want you to, since you're not late, I want you to drop the baby off. And then you go, you know, you go on, you get in your car, and you're supposed to be dropping the baby off at the daycare, but then you forget. And then you go on to the work. You forgot about the baby who's in the back seat, in the car seat. You've got to drop the baby off at the daycare. Instead, the baby is in the back seat at the workplace, at your workplace, not the daycare, but at your workplace. You have got out, you lock your doors, all the windows are up, you're in your workplace and you're working and you haven't thought anything about your baby until 2 or 3 hours later. Then you think about, oh, you know, wait a minute, I left my baby in the car. I've been in here for 2 hours or more with the windows up, the doors locked, no air circulation in there whatsoever. And then you go into panic mode. But see, that's what I mean by making choices. No choice but to make choices. So when we pray, see, when we pray, then God will keep that in your memory box, is that your baby is on board. Your baby is in the back seat in his or her car seat. So be sure to stop by the daycare and drop your child off. See, that's what prayer would do. But if you don't pray and you go on your own recognizance, you say, oh, I got it, you know, I know I got this baby in the back seat. But yet the devil will cloud your mind and you will forget that you have this child in the back seat of your car. And when you come out, your little baby is gone. How heartbreaking is that? So we know that every day, we're given the choice to make wise choices. Even in eating our food, we just can't go and just buy anything. We don't know what's in it. You know, we don't know what the ingredients are. We don't know if it's real food, or we don't know if it's been added adjectives and what have you in this here. So we have to make wise choices on what we're going to eat, where we're going to eat out, what restaurant we're going to go to. We're not just going to go to any restaurant, a restaurant that is going to serve you up some rats, and you're at Popeyes, and when they give you your meal, then it's all coated shale on the outskirts of it. But then when you get ready to bite into this thing, oh, you discover that something ain't right. And somebody has fried you up some rats instead of chicken. You thought you was getting chicken, but now they done flipped the script on you. So now you've been given a dish of rats. Ha, boy, you know, what can you say about that? You're talking about humiliation, devastation, and an insult to your integrity. That is one. So we know that every day we have to make wise choices in our decision making. Hallelujah. So I know I got to keep on moving because I know my time is surely running out. So you and I, we know that we are in this contemporary world where manufactured substitutes are commonly as the real thing, where so-called alternatives, value, and behavior are urged upon you and I and us. Legitimate ways of independent expressions, what is truly real and valuable, become increasingly uncertain. We are bombarded from every direction with claims and counterclaims of what matters and why. Our children are even more confused because the truth we would offer them seem old-fashioned and inconvenient. It is sometimes difficult to explain, but so important to understand why some things are wrong because their origin are evil. Some things will always be right because they proceed from what is right. We know that the fruit can be no better than the tree from which it comes. We know that God is the source of all grace, all perfection. Good is whatever proceeds from God and fulfills his image of righteousness. All else is chaff, the plaything of a perverse imagination. We know that God grants you and I and us the wisdom to know the difference. So every day, we have no choice but to make choices and to make wise ones. Not saying that we always come up, you know, on the winning end. Sometimes our choices are not so good, you know, because our choices making has become cloudy and we don't have anybody to turn to. You can't call your girlfriend up because you don't want her in your mix, you know. You can't call your doctor up. You can't call your lawyer up. So you don't have anybody to turn to, but you can turn to God. You can turn to God because he is a part of your everyday life if you allow him to be, because he's not going to intrude on your territory. God is not going to knock your door down. He's not going to kick your door in. But God is going to come like a gentleman, and he's going to knock gently at your door. It's up to you to open up the door and allow him in. It will be up to you to either allow God into your heart, or you're going to leave God standing outside, meaning that you reject him. When he asks you, would you accept him as being your Lord and Savior of your life, you choose to say no. So now the devil is running you now. He's running you ragged. And he don't care if you get your kid to daycare. He could care less. He don't care if you leave the kid in the car. He could care less. He don't care if you go cheating off in your marriage. He don't care. He could care less about your marriage. He'll tell you to go look at that woman, you know. Aren't she fine? You know, why don't you go get her name and number? You know, and you know you're already in a marriage, you know. But that's the way the devil works. The devil don't care anything about you or not. He don't even care about himself. Because if he cared anything about his own self, he would still be up in the heavenly realms with God. He wouldn't got kicked out of heaven. And the Bible says he fell out of heaven like lightning. So that's a hard fall. When you kicked out of heaven and you fall down on the ground like lightning, boy, that is some fall right there. But that's what the Bible says, that Satan fell like lightning. So if he cared anything about himself, he would still be up there. But he thought he was too big. He knew it all. He was too cool. He was too calm. He was too collective. He was too handsome. He knew it all. He said, I'm smart. I'm witty. You know, I got it going on. I don't have to subdue what you're talking about, Jesus. Hey, you follow my lead, Jesus. I'm tired of following your lead. You follow my lead, Jesus. So the Bible says just wickedness just entered him. It didn't say how, but it just said that wickedness entered Lucifer. That's his name, Lucifer. We call him Satan. We call him the devil. We call him our adversary. He has many names. Father of lies, you know. And we know that, you know, he has many names, many titles. Every title that Jesus has, he's tried to duplicate that title, you know, and his own identity. But we know that the devil could care less about you and I. Hallelujah. So we know that Jesus, hallelujah, should be our choice. Jesus should be our choice. Because we know that this world and everything that's in it is temporary. All of this will pass away. Your house, your cars, your clothing, your diamonds, your money, all of this is temporary. But when you have a life of Christ, I mean, you have a connection spiritually for life. There's no separation from you and God. But there is a separation from this earthly realms, because you will die, and if you don't die, then you still are going to lose all of this possessions that God has enabled you and I to take part of. It will soon lose its sway. So we know that there are many ways. There is the way. The question is, which way shall we take? Life is like a highway with multiple lanes heading north, south, east, and west. We know that people from all walks of life travel in different lanes on the same highway. Travelers are often discouraged to their surprise that they are in a lane that exit in a side road or cross over road. They have to change lanes quickly in order to stay on course and reach their destination. We find out Paul was on the Damascus road when he changed lanes. He changed from the narrow legalism of Judaism to the covenant of grace of the Christian faith. He changed from the lanes of prejudice, bigotry, oppression, to the lane of liberating freedom in Jesus Christ. All of us are travelers on life's highway. An encounter with Jesus Christ enables you and I and us to change lanes. When we enter the right lane, we are assured of a joyful journey. It is a special express lane, which if followed, enables you and I and us to fulfill the divine, hallelujah, changing lanes to get to the kingdom involves decision, determination, and destiny. We are talking about no choices but to make choices is our sermon on today. We know that every day we make choices, as I first stated, that affect our journey. Every day we need the guidance of the King of the Road. Do you hear what I just said? Every day we need the guidance of the King of the Road. He meets us on his holy highway, and a highway shall be there. It shall be called the way of holiness. It shall be for those, hallelujah, the wayfaring men. And that scripture reading is coming out of law of Isaiah 35 and 8. Hallelujah. We're talking about no choices but to make choices. And I'm just encouraging you on today. If you have not made the right choice to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, the King of your road, the Lord of your salvation, the driver in the front seat of your automobile. As I always say, buckle up with Jesus at your wheel. See, when I get in my car, I'm buckling up with Jesus at my wheel because I know that Jesus is people friendly. Because I'm a child of the King, so that let him know that, hey, your child is in the car. She's on board. She's trying to go places. So then God signaled his angelic angels to be on the alert. Get on their designated post. You watch over my daughter that's finna leave here and get out on the highway. Watch over my son that's leaving out to get out on the highway and try to go to the airport to catch his plane to go where I've sent him to go, to preach my word to a hungry people, hungry nation, hungry folks that love God and want to hear about the divine word of God, what thus says the Lord, what the Spirit has to say to the church. So God sent out his angelic angels stand on their designated post. Hallelujah. Fanning away evilness, wickedness, danger. The devil tried to put stumbling blocks in your pathway. God said not so. God said not so. Hallelujah. I have you, my child. I have you, my son and my daughter. Fear not. Like Peter and John and was on the boat, and the boat was just, you know, moving from side to side, and they got afraid. And they said, Jesus, do you care if we die? Jesus said, ye of little faith, don't you know who is on this ship? This is a big bad wolf on this ship. Big and baddest thing going. CIC, Christ in charge. He's on the boat. The boat ain't going nowhere, Jesus on the boat. What are you scared for? This great big old powerful Jesus on the boat. Your father's on the boat. You know you're in the best of company. You can't get any better safe net than that. Jesus' company, in your company. Hallelujah. But they was afraid. Jesus, you care if we perish. Jesus told them, said, ye of little faith. Now, I hear this big old Jesus Christ on the boat with you. He's just getting him a little rest. But y'all scared. Y'all ain't got enough faith to, you know, to steer this boat, pedal it, use the oar and pedal a boat, or however you're steering the confidence. But see, the enemy will bring fret into the heart of men, and they'll be afraid, you know. Because they was afraid, yet they had this all-knowing, all-omnipotent power God, this power source, was on the boat with them, but they were scared. See? But see, if they would have known the right choices and making the right choice, they would have knew. Don't bother our father this land back there trying to get him a little nap. Y'all go on, sit down somewhere and be at ease, be at peace. Be peace with yourself. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is on board, and Jesus is not going to let you drown. Jesus is not going to let you drown. And it's the same way it is with our earthly life. When you serve God, God is going to take care of you. He said, cast all your cares upon me. Put all your heartaches. Put all your setbacks. Put all the booby traps that the devil has placed in your pathway. Put all the miscarriages that you've had, you're trying to conceive, but yet you have not had that opportunity to conceive. But you've just had one miscarriage after another. God said, bring all your burdens and lay them at my feet, because I care for you. See, Jesus don't want anybody lost on today. But God would want all that don't know God to come to repentance. It's about time to make Jesus your ultimate choice. Because we know that time is winding down. There's so much happening too, we can't hardly keep up. Every hour, every minute, every second of yours and mine's and our day is something kicking off somewhere. I mean, it's just never ending. And it will. It will not cease. It will not cease. Because we're living in a wicked world where people do not think that they need God for anything. You know, oh, I got plenty of money. I do what I want. I call the shots, you know. You know, I got everybody at my bell and whistle. All I got to do is, you know, get on my phone and tell my chauffeur, you know, to meet me here on the front lawn. You know, tell my maids to be there in the morning at 7 o'clock, you know. And I could just, you know, go to the bank there and draw out, you know, whatever kind of money that I need. You know, there's no limit. So you feel like you don't need God. But see, God is the cause of you having that wealth that you have. And if God take it today, then that means you have anything. Because God said that we come in this world without anything. And just sure as we come in this world without anything, we're going to leave out that same way. We didn't have any gold bars. We didn't have any currencies. We didn't have any automobiles. We didn't have two or three closets full of clothes, two or three closets full of shoes, two or three closets full of purses, a vault full of jewelry, money, currency, money, and the like. But we come here with nothing. But yet, we feel like we don't need God. But that's going to come a day that you'll be running to God. God won't have to run you down. You'll be running God down. And say, Lord, forgive me for me being ignorant. Forgive me for all the wrong that I have committed. and I accept you into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. All the wrong that I've done, I'm asking your forgiveness. And God will take your sins. He said, and he will remember them anymore. God will place your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. And you will be on the right road, a living, a Christian, and sanctity lifestyle before God and man. So our sermon today has been, no choices but to make choices. No choice but to make choices. And our scripture, key scripture, was coming out of the law of Ephesians 6 and 17. And before ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and infuse your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, have any prayer petitions you'd want the old triple Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged in your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital, Worldwide Ministry. Send your respondents, make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Guerra, California, 95020. This station has been produced by Block Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. And until we meet again, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Buckle up with Jesus at your will because he is people friendly. We are now going into our second half of our program. We have now opened the line of communication to prayer. You are welcome to call in with your prayer petition. You have any prayer petitions that you would like the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer with you, pray with you and for you, you are welcome to call in. And that call-in number is 646-230-74. That number again is 646-230-74. Till we meet again across these skyways and airways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We'll now change the dynamics of this program. We're going into our second phase, and it's called Hymns of Zion. Uplift your spirit and encourage your heart. Till we meet again, you go in God and allow God to go in you. Up next, Hymns of Zion. Be blessed.
Hallelujah.
Stages and flashing lights, music and cameras, they call it the good life, but at the end of the day, a man's all I am. Just like you, I got needs. Oh, and I get frustrated. I get hurt, you can say, but because I got a name, happiness mistaken for fame. And it gets cold at the top. So make sure somebody loves you. No matter if nobody's there, you can feel alone. It's like the world's in your hands, but while on the road, sometimes it's just one of those. The circus sun is big. I get weak like you do, and my body can't get tired too. Yeah, yeah. And although I'm living the dream, I'm a man, not a machine, and I need you to know it. Love.
I'm so honored, oh, so I'm glad. Oh! don't have much to bring. My heart's torn to pieces. Hit my offering.
Thank you. Just wanna watch.